Revelation chapter 20. Somebody's car is going off out there. Somebody's car. Alex? Alex, we're going to have a neighbor over here. What a set of chain reaction. Good night. There's another car going on. John. Somebody might be trying to get out of it. Revelation chapter 20. Before we get started, anybody got any questions on Revelation? Anybody got any questions on Revelation? Yeah, you're making sure we're awake, all right. Any questions on Revelation? Anything? You know what blesses me? I'm reading the end of this book, and I know how it's all going to end up. Like I was saying Sunday, the Lord knows the beginning to the end. And I know how everything's going to end up. Even though the news media, they are saying we're playing in this peace process. We got the United Nations. We got all this stuff. I read this Bible. I find out how it's all going to end up. And it ends up with the Lord Jesus Christ in his rightful place, the devil in his rightful place. And we're in our rightful place, and we're where we don't deserve. And we get all that. And it's a blessing to read this thing. Man, I tell you what, when's the last time you thank God for the book of Revelation? You thank the Lord for the book of Revelation because it gives you the end, it basically shows you how the world is going to end up. And that's why the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. All that's in the world is the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And the world's going to end up being burnt. The whole thing's going to end up being burnt. And the Lord's going to wipe it all out, and then he's going to set a new heaven, new earth, and all that. And we're going to be ruling and reign with him if you serve with him. And you try to. And the Bible says you'll rule and reign with him if you suffer with him. And you say, well, I don't like suffering. Nobody does. But you're going to suffer in this life. If you're going to get through this life, you're going to have some kind of suffering. You're going to go through something. And I was telling guys, if you're going to pastor a church, you might as well face it. You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. Christian life is a life. It's a life that you hate to think about it, but it's going to be a life of glory. I know that. I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven. You can have joy in the midst. That's why I'm preaching that message on Sunday morning about, mastering your mind, because most of the time they say it's in your mind. And that's what it is. Most of the Christians, that's in their mind. But in Revelation chapter 20, it says, and we'll start at verse 1 again. And I saw the angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand. Amen. We're going to be shouting it out when we see that happen. And he laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And I told you last time that all the names on earth have 5 letters, and all the names in heaven have 7 letters. And then the devil is going to be cast out. He's called Lucifer in heaven. And in Ezekiel, he's called Lucifer, but now he's called the old devil. And it says, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose for a little season. Now, that's always puzzled me. Why is the Lord letting him loose? One more time, let him loose. And he gets loose. I guess he gets opportunity to go out and produce his cause or whatever he does, like Absalom. And he gets everybody to follow him to try to split the kingdom again. And here's the thing. Jesus Christ is going to be sitting on the throne in Jerusalem. And he gets all the world to come up and follow him to Jerusalem. And the Lord's going to annihilate him. That's wild. And there's going to be people that's after the rapture takes place. I mean, we're going out of here. There's going to be, the Bible says, a third going to die and all that, famine and all war and all that. But there's going to be people that's still alive, and they're going to make it through the tribulation period. There's going to be, I don't know how many. I don't know if it's going to be a million, a couple million, what. And the Revelation, and then Matthew 25, it says he's going to sit down and divide the nations up. And he's going to sit on the throne and divide the nations. And that those people that make it through the tribulation period, that don't receive the mark of the beast, they're going to go into the millennium. And they're going to be people, they're not going to be all the saved church. The church is going to be those that suffered with him, going to rule with him in the millennium. And you say, who are you going to rule? You're going to rule the people that never received the mark of the beast and went into the millennium. That's what the Lord said. And he's going to sit down and judge the nations, and he's going to divide them up. And then he's going to allow the people that made it through the tribulation without receiving the mark, starving to death, all that stuff, and help the Jews, and he's going to allow them to go into the millennium. And that's in Isaiah chapter 11, talking about the lion will lay down with the lamb. They're going to see that. You're talking about paradise on earth. And they're going to have all the blessings and everything else. But then the Bible tells you in Isaiah, if they don't come up to Jerusalem you'll be if those that rule and reign with Jesus Christ is going to be governors and stuff like that, mayors over cities. And if they don't send you or whoever's representing that city up to Jerusalem to represent the city to the king, the Bible says he's not going to send rain. And it says a child's going to die at 100 years old. A child. That's wild. And we don't know everything that's going to happen in the millennium, but I mean the millennium, those people that make it through the tribulation period, they're going to go into the millennium. And then the devil's going to get loosed after 1,000 years. He's going to get loose, and then he's going to convince the people that God's done them wrong. And that's how the devil works. He tries to convince you God's done you wrong. He whispers in your ear, tries to tell you, if God really loved you, you wouldn't have this sickness, or you wouldn't be feeling this way, or you wouldn't have this disease, or you wouldn't have cancer, if God really loved you. And that's what Absalom did. Absalom said, he said, David, the king, representing Jesus Christ, the type of Jesus Christ, Absalom kept saying, well, would to God I was king, I'd see it your way. And everybody likes somebody to see it their way. I mean, who doesn't? You know, go to before a judge, and the judge takes you aside and says, hey, man, if I was ruling the thing, I'd see it your way. Well, let's make him the judge. So that's what they do. They vote the devil in. They vote the devil to go up to Jerusalem to represent them. They all say, well, let's go take the city, the new Jerusalem that's coming down out of heaven. And they go up there, and the devil's leading them, and God just wipes them out. Yes, ma'am. On the chart? Revelation 20, we're after Armageddon. We're about ready to go into the millennium. About ready to go into the millennium. Because look what it says. It says in verse 3, cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. And I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads. Say, what about these people? Are they going to rule with Jesus Christ? Yeah, they will. They'll be in the millennium. They'll be there. And it says, no, you say, are they the church? They're not the church. The church goes out in the rapture. The church goes out right here. Or right here in the rapture, the church goes out, and and when the Bible says that armies that follow him, Revelation 19, all these armies that follow him, he's got armies of different time periods, and angels and all that. Good. Look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse 4 again. Beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which he had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed, now notice what it says. Blessed and holy is he that have part in the first resurrection, on such the second death have no power. The second death has no power. You know, we read over talks about, and look down at verse 14. Look at Revelation 20, 14. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. It says the first have part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over you. So once you're part of him, the second death, you're not going to worry about dying and going to hell. Because look what it says. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So we don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. Yeah, Tab. Revelation 11, there's Moses and Elijah gets raptured out. They get raptured out, and I believe this, that they, the ones that, the 144,000, they were beheaded for Jesus Christ, but they're going to be, the Lord's going to take their bodies out. Revelation 11. Look at Revelation 11. And in verse 8, it says, and their dead bodies shall be in the streets of that great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt. That's Jerusalem, where also our Lord was crucified, and they of the people and kindred, and so on. Then it says, after 3.5 days, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and that they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them not. Now, Matthew 25, go to Matthew 25, and it talks about a mid-tribulation rapture. Matthew 25, about the bridegroom coming. That's where Matthew 25, talking about Jesus sitting down and judging the nations. Matthew 25. Most churches don't believe this. They don't teach this because they don't believe the Bible. Matthew 25. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. So then the Lord talks about Luke 21 about having being at the marriage, and go out in the highways and hedges, compel them to come in to the marriage. And the marriage is taking place after the rapture, the marriage or the judgment seat of Christ, then the marriage on the latter half. So he says, and five of them were wise and five were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. And the wise, now notice this, we're thinking now that we're saved without, we're saved for eternity. When you get saved in this dispensation, saved by grace through faith plus nothing, you can't lose your salvation. But in the tribulation period, it said what we just read, these that kept the testimony of Jesus and they were beheaded, and they also, it says, and for the word of God, for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, they had no eternal security like you and I have. They have to endure to the end. That's where Matthew 24 comes in, 13. He that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. You either endure to the end or get your head cut off. That's in the tribulation. So Matthew 25, look over here, Matthew 25, it says the five of them were wise and five were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. And the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Midnight, this is right in the middle of tribulation. At midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go out to meet him. And then all those virgins arose, notice it says virgins, arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. So for them to buy, they had to have a mark. Or they had to get a black market. But they, you know, to buy the oil, oil is a type of the Holy Ghost and all that, and, you know, keeping the word of God and the witness of Jesus. And those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and then it says, verse 9, and the wise answer saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and for you, but ye go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open us. And he answered and said, look at this. Verily I say unto you, I know you not. And that's the Jewish people. And, you know, he said, I don't even know you. He said, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, they say oil is a type of the Holy Ghost, but it could be them going to try to get food, or could be, you know, or they were doing right and they lost it. They lost their testimony of doing right. I don't know. That, I really don't know how that would fit in there, but I know that it's mid-tribulation. There's something there. And I know the Bible says that no man could buy or sell without the mark. So there's something there when it comes to that. And then it says, notice it says kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is earthly, is on the earth. So go back to Revelation 20. Does that answer your question there, sis?
No, I guess there's no...
Yeah, well, that chapter 24, 25 is talking about in tribulation. It's talking about all the tribulation period and talking about kingdom of heaven.
So it's definitely got to be before the Battle of Armageddon.
Yeah. Because the Battle of Armageddon is not until over here. And he comes back. But see, he's at the marriage here. He's up here, and then Revelation 19, he says, all right, bound up. After the marriage, let's go down. And so you get where the Lord's talking about, hey, man, those that were bidden were not worthy. Those that were bidden to come to the marriage were not worthy. So we're going to be there because we're the bride. And then you got all the Old Testament prophets there and Christians there and all that. Because they're in heaven. So now go to Zechariah. Go to Zechariah chapter... this whole thing comes, it's not, you don't have to make it up. It all comes right together. You don't have to make nothing up. It just fits. Zechariah. Look at Zechariah. And look at chapter 14. And this is, it goes back and forth. Tribulation, millennial. Tribulation, millennial. It goes back and forth. And Zechariah 14, it says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. And it says, his feet shall stand in the day that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof towards the east and towards the west, and there shall be a great valley, and half the mountain shall be removed towards the north and half towards the south. And ye shall flee into the valley of the mountains, and the valley of the mountains shall reach on the Hazel, yea, and ye shall flee like ye fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah the king of Judah. And the Lord thy my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that light shall not be clear nor dark, but it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass that at evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in that day that living waters, and here we go in the millennial, shall go forth out of Jerusalem, half towards the former sea, half towards the hinder sea. In summer and winter shall it be. And then going down, it says in verse 12, or actually we read on down through there. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. And all the land shall be turned as the plains. And go down to verse 11. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. This shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that fought against Jerusalem. You saw this when you saw Raiders of the Lost Ark. They try to show you that their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes. Their tongue shall consume away in their mouths. It shall come to pass in that day that a great turmoil from the Lord shall be among them. And it says, and they shall lay hold everyone on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And it says, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem. And the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold, silver, apparel, in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse and the mule and the camel and of the ass and all the beasts that shall be in these tents as this plague. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all nations which went up against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the feast of the tabernacles as a requirement. It's going to be the law. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, and that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the heathen that come not up to keep the feast of the tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt, and the punishment of all nations that come not up to keep the feast of the tabernacles. And that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord. And the pots of the Lord's house shall be like unto the bowls before the altar. Yea, every pot in Jerusalem and in Judah shall be holiness unto the Lord of hosts. And all they that sacrifice shall come and take of them. And so on. Then it says, in that day there shall be no more the Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. Now go back to chapter 13. Go back to 13. So you go back and forth a lot of times from millennial tribulation in the Old Testament and also in the book of Revelation. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin, for uncleanness. So why would that have to have a fountain to open up for uncleanness and for sin? Because those people that make it through the tribulation period are still in a sinful state. You and I that are representing the church, that are raptured out, we're not in a sinful state representing Jesus Christ. We are in a perfect body. But there's going to be people that makes it through tribulation. The Lord's going to say, go into the kingdom, and they're going to live 100 years, 200 years, all depends on how they live. And they're going to go into the millennium, and they can go, if they go up to Jerusalem, and there's a fountain for sin, for unrighteousness. That's wild. Where do you think they get that stuff in the movies, you know, drink from the fountain of youth? There's going to be a fountain of youth, but we won't need it. Yeah.
Is it Matthew 24, verse 29?
Matthew 24, 29. Let's go to Matthew 24. Hold your place in Zechariah there. Matthew 24. This is wild, man. This is wild stuff. Matthew 24, verse 29. Here it is. Oh, it's talking about the moon and stars and
29 says immediately after the tribulation.
Yeah. Yeah, that could be a mid-tribulation rapture right there. Right there in the mid-tribulation. And it could happen when Moses and Elijah goes up in Revelation 11.
Well, I guess my real question is, you know, I'm sorry to be
paying. No, you're not paying. That's it's good. Right.
Right.
This would be the gleamings right here.
So I guess my real question is, you know, when the rapture of the church happens, then that immediately ushers in the tribulation.
Right.
So if the tribulation state rapture happens in the middle of the tribulation, is there no more room to get saved the rest of the tribulation? Like, what happens?
No. Well, it's closer to the end. Revelation 11 would be closer to the end because they don't show up. The Great Tribulation doesn't happen till the latter 3.5 years. So probably basically near the end of that 3.5 years. Yeah, Brother Ryan.
Should we say it's more of a resurrection? If you read Revelation chapter 7, all the last 9, from verse 9 on, it talks about all these people that were beheaded and these saints that were wearing white.
Yeah, they're wearing white. So who are these that are dressed in white? Is it those that went through the Great Tribulation? Yeah. The rapture of the church, but we've been taught, and the Bible teaches about a catching away of rapture, but it's probably more closer to the near the end, like Brother Kim was saying, probably closer over in here when all hell really breaks loose, gets worse. And then Moses and Elijah, because Moses and Elijah, they show up and they're breathing, they're fire coming out of their mouth and consuming people. And they're killing people. And because the people come up, try to kill them. And they're bringing judgment. They bring no rain for 3.5 years, it says. No rain. And then it says they bring plagues, Moses. And so then finally the beast overpowers them and kills them. That's in Revelation 11. He finally overpowers him. So it's probably closer to the near the end of that thing. Because look in Matthew 24. Look at Matthew 24. And Brother Cam brought this up. Verse 40. Matthew 24, 40. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. And it says, two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord your Lord doeth come. But know this, that the good man of the house had known to watch the thief would come. Jesus said, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. He would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Now, we use that for the rapture of the church because he's going to come like a thief in the night. But if you read the book of Ruth, Ruth is out there. She's a type of the Jew out there gleaming from Boaz's field. He said, what is gleaming? They've already had the harvest. And what the Bible commanded them in Leviticus, that they would leave the gleamings for the poor and the needy. So the gleaming, Ruth went out there, and Naomi says, where hast thou gleamed today? And she was in Boaz's field. And they left enough gleaming for her to gather. And the rapture is going to take place. That's going to be the harvest. The first fruits is Jesus Christ, and then rapture takes place, and then the gleamings is going to be tribulation saints. That's how all three goes. So, yeah. Let's read back to 27. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there shall be eagles to be gathered together. So you know there's going to be some bodies laying around. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. That's, you know, Revelation 19. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. And that looks like it's near the end, but he takes them out before he comes down on the planet. And but for some, when Revelation 11, I believe this is going to, that something's going to go up with them, those men there. And that's probably, it could be right near the end, because it says for 3.5 years there's no rain, and they don't have no rain, just like what Elijah did. So, and where in this chart, where in the chart would this tribulation rapture take place, or the gathering? It could be here, or it could be here, up in this area.
I believe he's got something right there.
So, anyway, go back to Revelation chapter 20. Yes. Yeah.
But then right here in chapter 20, it talks about people that will be
headed. Those are people that would not receive the mark of the beast. It's going to be a mandatory law that if you don't receive the mark, you can't, you know, you can't buy or sell. It's going to be just, it's just, it's just like they implemented seatbelts. Yeah. They implemented the seatbelt thing and they say, oh, it's not going to be a law, but then all of a sudden it becomes a law. They're going to implement that you have to receive the mark to be able to buy or sell, but it's not going to be any penalty. But then it comes down where when the Bible says when the Antichrist comes back and he goes into, when he goes into the temple and he says, I'm God, worship me, and he gets killed and resurrects, and then the Bible says he's going to come out with great vengeance. And that's when all bets are off. He just goes after everything. Yeah. So you only got 7 years right here, but in the first 3.5 years is going to be, you know, just everybody's going to say the Antichrist is Jesus Christ. They're going to say, man, he's a great guy. Man, what a guy. Man, this guy would be Jesus, man. And everybody's going to worship him, start worshiping him. And then he's going to go into the temple and say, I'm God. And so, and it's going to break loose from there. Yeah, Brother John. Mm-hmm.
Is that the angels? That's in the current tribulation, right?
Yes, tribulation. Yep, that's tribulation. Yeah.
That's a third part of men right there.
Third part of the men right there dying. Yeah. And that could be the Armageddon, because 200 million men die in Armageddon.
9 says they counted themselves for like 5 months.
Yeah. They gathered up the dead 5 months. That's wild. You know, this world's never seen a battle like that. Never seen. I mean, there's been, you read in your Bible, I'm reading over there, 180,000 men die in one night, 185,000 men die in one night, angel goes out and wipes them out. 185,000. Can you imagine how long it took them to bury that many men? And then you hear about, you know, a million man army coming in, and then all these, you know, and just hundreds of thousands dying. And you go, my God, my God. I mean, during this, what, Vietnam War, 53 or 58,000 men died. That was over a 7-8 year period. And then the how many died in the Civil War? Anybody know?
A couple hundred thousand.
I mean, that was in the whole Civil War. What, 4 or 5 years? But this one day, 200 million men, and Jesus Christ comes down, and because they bring the armies, he's going. The Bible says he's going to stomp out the winepress. That's going to be wild. And, you know, thank God I'm on the one inside. I'm, you know, it bothers me. We say, well, here's what it is. We say, we don't want to see people die. We don't want to see people die and go to hell. Then we got to do something about it.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, sir.
We got to live the kind of life that people would want to ask us, what makes you live the way you live?
Amen.
What makes you want to see? Why do you care for me? Why do you even care? Why do you even care? We want to see people say, yeah, Brother Alex.
I guess the question was, would it be in the last half of the tribulation, the last period, when all the plagues are going on, when the people just can't die and they're suffering?
Well, on the latter part of 3.5, because look in Matthew 24. Go to Matthew 24. Jesus tells this in Matthew 24. And we'll have to stop, man. We're already past time. In Matthew 24, the Lord tells you in Matthew 24, verse 6, he says, wars, rumors of wars, you see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And then he says, verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We're heading that way. He that shall endure the end, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. The Lord gives the whole world another chance. They hear the gospel of the kingdom. You and I heard the gospel of the grace of God. He gives the whole world another chance. He sends 144,000 witnesses, Jewish witnesses, plus others, and plus Moses and Elijah, and all of them to come down and preach during the tribulation period, tell people how to get, how to make it to heaven, how to get to heaven. In every dispensation, God's always provided a way. He's always provided a vehicle to get to heaven. He don't want nobody. The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. God's always provided a way. With Noah and the ark, he provided a way. He provides a way. And look at verse 15. When ye shall therefore see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Some, it's been a debate whether that's going to be the Antichrist walking in there saying, I'm God. Because you read about one of the kings in the Old Testament, Jewish kings went into the temple and God plagued him with leprosy. Uzziah. He plagued him with leprosy because he went in there and tried to perform the office of a priest. And this guy, or it, some men say, well, it's going to be an image that he's going to put up, like the image of the beast of Daniel chapter 2. And but whatever, I believe he's going to walk in there and say, I'm God, and sit down and say, I'm God, worship me. He's going to be that blatant, that bold, and that deceived because his father's a devil. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever read it, let him understand. Then let them that be in Judea flee into the mountains. Why? Why run? Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him that is in the field return back to take his clothes. But woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. The Jews are more worried about, you know, I better not go over an eighth of a mile. I better not burn anything in my house, fire up anything. Then look what he says in verse 21. And then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. So what he's saying, when man says this is hell on earth, it is going to turn into hell on earth. He said, pray, man. And then look at verse 3. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be what? But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. That's the Jews. Because he's going to come back and fight for them. If any man say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall rise Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, and so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I told you, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chamber. Believe it not. And then he goes on down in Matthew and tells you about he that endured the end and all that. Or back, that's backed up there, but tells you about the fig tree and all that. So I think Israel next year is going to celebrate 70 years. You say, is that us? I don't know. We're all praying, even so come Lord Jesus. We have to stop right there. Brother Ken, you want to take a prayer? Hey, if you've got a prayer request that we've been saying every week, if you can remember, just write it down. Brother Dave,